Welcome to lesson three of the Revelation course. Again, I encourage you to get a Bible and a notepad, and we're going to go into today's lesson. You know, as we walk through these lessons, I want to exhort you to ask God to show you things, to reach out, to put into practice some of the things we are talking about and exploring. We want to be a people who walk in revelation, not simply in information. And today I'm going to cover a really simple principle, and yet really one that is the source of everything. We're going to talk about where revelation comes from, because if we don't know where revelation comes from, we will be looking in the wrong place for it. Makes sense, doesn't it? So we're going to read a verse in John chapter 3 and also John chapter 16. And in John chapter 3 and verse 27, John the Baptist is actually speaking about Jesus. If you think about I love the ministry of John. John the Baptist, if you think about it, he has a very interesting ministry. It's the opposite of everybody's ministry. You know, most people in ministry want to grow bigger and get more and more prominent. John's whole thing was to shrink. John basically came and he had one major call on his life: to introduce the Messiah. So every day John would come to the River Jordan and baptize people. You know, all day long he'd arrive, a cup of Dunkin' Donuts, probably in a tree as a little holder, and all day long he'd baptize people. And John's standing instructions were this: baptize people, and when you see the Holy Spirit fall on one of them, you'll know he is the Messiah. So I can just see John all day long, like, nothing, next, baptizing people all day long. I'm sure at times if I were John, I would have thought, hey, did I miss that? Was I just on autopilot? Come back, let me baptize you again. And John's baptizing and baptizing and baptizing, when suddenly a point comes where his cousin Jesus shows up, and John's first reaction is probably like, oh, Jesus, how you doing, mate? How's it going, cousin? And suddenly, instead of how's it going, cuz, John hears himself say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then John literally, you know, baptizes his cousin Jesus and sees Holy Spirit come upon him like a dove. Hears that voice saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And, you know, it's a really interesting thing. John's ministry from that moment began to diminish. All John's disciples leave him, most of them anyway, and begin to follow Jesus. Real soon, John is in prison, and John begins to doubt. I call it, you know, don't doubt in the night what you saw in the light. John begins to doubt his own revelation of Jesus. Do you think about that? It's really interesting. John sends his few remaining disciples to Jesus with a question. He basically says, are you the one who should come, or should we look for another? Are you really the one we're waiting for, or did I miss it? Should I start all again? And I love what Jesus does. Jesus does not give John the emotional comfort that John is seeking for. John has declared Jesus to be the Messiah, and he's beginning to doubt that. And Jesus, now of course, Jesus loved the whole of humanity because he's God. And yet Jesus also loved as a man. And by that, I mean, Jesus had affection for his mother that was of son's affection for mother. Jesus had affections for his brothers. Jesus really loved John. And yet Jesus refuses to give John a kind of emotional support when he's in prison. When John says, are you the one who should come, or should we look for another? Jesus doesn't send his disciples back saying, yes, I'm he. You didn't miss it, John. What Jesus tells his disciples is to say to John, look around you. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the poor have the gospel preached, the oppressed are free. In a way, what Jesus was doing was reverse engineering his messianic prophecy. Remember, Jesus stands up in Luke 4 and quotes Isaiah 61, is it? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to anointed me. I'm the Messiah. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, open the eyes of the blind, release the oppressed. In a way, Jesus was saying, look, the gospel, have the poor preach to them, tick. The blind see, tick. The lame walk, tick. The oppressed go free, tick. He's saying, I am the Messiah. Don't doubt your revelation. Not because of some emotional support that I've given you, but rather your revelation matches the scripture. And there's a really important lesson for us there, that the revelation we get from God matches scripture. And in John chapter 3, and let's read in verse 27, it says, John answered and said to them, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. He said that again. John the Baptist says, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. And I want you to catch that, because all revelation comes from heaven. You won't find revelation looking on the inside of yourself. You won't find revelation wandering around on a hilltop. You won't find revelation simply by being with other people who walk in revelation. We can catch revelation to a degree, but all revelation comes from heaven. Another scripture, John 16, 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And that's really the crux of the lesson I want to share today, that it takes the Spirit of God to take the things of God and make them real to us. We'll see that again in a future lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The danger is, as we walk through life, that we try to do what other people have done. We try to walk in the things they walked in, when we haven't really received that revelation from heaven in our own lives yet. Excuse me. But I remember years ago when I first began in ministry, I was age 17. And at the time, somebody once gave me a book that I still have today. And it's a really great book, a book called Faith for the Future. And it was the biography, or at least a part of the biography, of a British minister who's gone to be with the Lord this year, actually, a guy called Colin Urquhart. Really great man of God, great man of faith. I would recommend all of his books to you. And here's the point I'm sharing this. In this book, Colin Urquhart tells the story about when he began traveling in ministry and he needed a good, reliable vehicle to travel in. So he prayed and he went to a car dealership, and by faith, he ordered a vehicle with no money whatsoever. Just ordered it by faith, signed the papers. And he spoke about, you know, in the next week or two, from all over the world, money would come in, envelopes, people would give something. God moved on me, told me to give you this, God. And the money came in for the car, and he went and paid for his vehicle, and it served him well. Now, at the time I read this, in the mid-1980s in the UK, I was traveling in ministry and I needed a car. And when I read this book, I was like, great, I'm going to do what the guy in the book did. It's a true story. So I went with a friend of mine, Elijah, and his wife, Haley, and I went to a car dealership. I was 17, and I chose the nicest executive vehicle they had and took it for a test drive. I'm sure I terrified the car salesman, letting this 17-year-old drive this big, fast car. And then I was like, okay, I'll sign the papers. And I thought I had faith because I'd read something in a book. Here's the point I really want you to catch today. This guy, Colin Urquhart, had received that from heaven. I'd received it from a book about a guy who received it from heaven. And in the next 2 weeks, money did not come in from all over the world. Not one penny came in from all over the world. And eventually, I had to go back to the car dealership and explain, I'm sorry, I've got no money. I can't afford to buy this car. And the guy had already registered it in my name and threatened to sue me, and you know, all of these things. I look back with embarrassment right now. But I want you to catch that principle. One of the reasons we fail is we do things because we've thought they were a good idea, or we've copied somebody else and we haven't received them from heaven. Now, the key I really want you to catch today is this. When you haven't received something from heaven, don't feel bad. Don't simply go, well, oh, God gives that person revelation, but not me. What we should do, I believe, is look to heaven what we should do is actually own the fact, Lord, I realize I'm kind of lacking revelation in an area here, but Lord, I want revelation. So Lord, I open my heart to you for revelation. And what we need to do, you know, in those verses, it says the Holy Spirit will guide you into truth. I like to say that in the Spirit, we're blind. We need a guide. In the Spirit, we need to be led by the Spirit. It's like we're walking into another dimension. It's like we're a blind person and somebody needs to take us by the hand and say, hey, trust me, I will be your eyes. I will lead you into this place. And if you don't have revelation on something, as I didn't that day as regarding a car or a vehicle, what a great prayer to pray is, Holy Spirit, lead me into this truth. And I want you to learn to do that, to sit in the tension of what you don't know. Learn to embrace the mystery. Learn to sit in that place that says, God, I believe this is true, but I don't yet really believe this is true in the depths of my heart, but I want to. So Holy Spirit, take me on a journey where this truth becomes my truth, where I literally... this is revealed on the inside to me. There are different aspects of who Holy Spirit is. He's the Spirit of God, basically, but he's a comforter. He's the healer. He's the one who, you know, brings us peace, brings us joy, brings us different things. But we need to develop a relationship with him about revelation. He needs to be the revelator, if I can put it that way, to us. So if today you're sitting in a place that says, I don't have revelation about this, it's not a revelation to me, that's okay. That's actually an empowering thought to realize you don't have that. And I would encourage you then to pray and say, Lord, lead me into this truth. And to take the time, again, praying in the Holy Spirit's another key we're going to talk about here. Paul says that when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, we pray mysteries. And then he says, let us also pray that we may interpret. So there's times when something in your heart is a mystery to you, even if in your head you believe it's real. And what we can do is pray in the Spirit and God will literally begin to birth that revelation within us. Good. So I said that in yesterday's lesson. When God gives us revelation, he gives us real estate. When God shows you something, you own that thing. When God shows you something, he's giving you a part of your inheritance that is yours to walk with and yours to deal with. Maybe I'll tell the next part of that car story in another another lesson here. Interesting thing, I'm just thinking this as I'm teaching here today, but I had a classically bad mistake about buying that vehicle by faith. I've had many vehicles by faith, many breakthroughs by faith in areas of my life since then, because I turned that mistake into a victory. I turned that failure into a testimony. Not by trying to fake it, not trying to do what the guy in the book did, but rather by allowing God to write those truths and make that truth that the man had the truth that I had. Good. So a man can receive nothing except he receive it from heaven. Heaven has revelations to give you and I this day in Jesus' name. Thanks for watching, guys. I'll see you back in the next lesson.